As has been mentioned, we're pursuing a theme of protecting this month, protecting the community of the King. And we're taking on some very heavy issues. This week we're talking about addiction. Next week we're talking about abortion. And the final week in January we're talking about sexuality. Issues of great concern to college populations, but to the broad community as well. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Pastor Gene Williams particularly wants to focus on that last phrase, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Gene Williams, or as I like to call him, Brother Gene, is a Geneva grad, worked for a while in our admissions office, has had significant ministry in the Beaver Falls community, serves as an adjunct professor for us in Christian community development, and is currently serving as the pastor of Lifeway Christian Fellowship in Beaver Falls. Pastor Gene, come here.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. All right, that sounds a little better. Before I get started, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need an amen corner. When you hear something that sounds a little bit decent, I need you to say amen. Can I get an amen corner? Amen. All right, this is my amen corner. Okay, then. All right. Usually when I speak, I usually talk about my family because they are so important to me. But I realize we got to get out of here at 11:30. I'm married to a beautiful woman. She's fine. Her name is Valerie. Her Valerie is spelled with an A-V-A-L-A. That's how fine she is. Her Valerie is so different. We've been married 23 years. I met her the first week of college. I'm not here at Geneva College. My first stint at college was at California State College, at that time called that, but California University. Saw her the first week of school. I saw this sister on the other side of the street. And I said, "Man, she is fine. She's gonna be my wife." 23 years later, amen. God has allowed us to be united. And in this union, we have two sons. Our oldest son is named Edward. He is at Edinburgh University. He is studying computer animation, and the boy is bad when it comes to computer animation. Amen? He does some cool stuff, amen, with his computer. We have a younger son. His name is Evan. He's a senior at Beaver Falls High School. He's a swimmer, and he's just a great kid. Amen? And I just wanted to let you know kind of what makes me who I am. Other than Christ Jesus, my family is significant to who I am. Amen? Today, I want to talk about, let me give a shout out to Team A, Team B, Team C, Team D. Are you here this morning? Team A, Team, oh, all right, amen. All right, I see some of you here. Amen. Amen. Okay, Dean, I'm getting moving. Want to talk about, in your bulletins, it talks about understanding addictions. The task of that was the microphone. Brad Fry, what are you laughing at? The task of defining addiction is somewhat difficult. This task of defining addiction has challenged physicians, judges, clergy, addicts, their families, and the general public throughout history. There are many potential definitions, as there are groups with an interest in defining addiction. These definitions emphasize such things as physiological dependence, psychological dependence, family dynamics, behavior problems, and morality. You know, some people see addiction as a disease. Then there are other folks who debate that. There's a question of, does addiction mean drugs only, or does it mean other things? So there's really a major debate. And I can stand up here and try to impress you with my knowledge of addiction. There were portions of my life and my serving experience where I served as a treatment specialist and major organizations who work with folks who have various kinds of dependencies. But I don't want to do that today. Amen. I want to be a little bit more personal and talk about me and talk about my personal experiences as it pertains to being locked inside. Is that okay this morning? I'm going to have to find a new amen corner. Can I do that this morning? Amen. Amen. All right. My past experience growing up, I was always a real fat kid. Still a little chunky now. But always a fat kid. And the guys on my block made fun of me day in and day out. They laughed at my clothes. They laughed at just how I walked. And, you know, they just made so much fun. They even gave me a nickname. And that nickname, it's okay if you laugh, but the nickname that they gave me was Blubber Toots. Yeah, that's all right. I'm over it now. Amen. They gave me a name of Blubber Toots. And you know, as I continued to grow up and begin to pursue different things, I never realized how much anger and bitterness that I was harboring on the inside as a result of that barrage of name calling. You know, I began to think that I was less than. I began to think that I didn't fit in. I began to think that I belonged nowhere. And it's one of those things where you don't go and tell your parents. You know, how do I go and tell my mom and dad? You know, because I was so ashamed of the name that they gave me. And when they called me the names, I just smiled and, you know, act like it didn't hurt me. But in reality, it was tearing me apart. I couldn't go tell my mom and my dad. I could have, but I didn't. I didn't go tell my mom and dad that the kids are calling me Blubber Toots. So I just kept that in. And as I got further into my teenage years, I got introduced to some alcohol. I got introduced to marijuana. And when I began to you know, partake in drinking and drugs and smoking marijuana, you know, it didn't hurt so bad. I was able to cope with, you know, the things that, you know, were on the inside. At this point in time, as a teenager, they stopped calling me those names, but I could never get it out of my system. And alcohol and drugs, marijuana, helped me to cope with the pain that I dealt with on the inside. And the older I got, the more severe the pain got. And the more the severe the pain got, the more I indulged in alcohol and marijuana. And I began to understand, you know, just recently, there was a stint that I was with Prison Fellowship Ministries, and part of the leadership team, we had to take a psychological, Myers and Briggs, your personality. I don't even know if it was Myers and Briggs, but we took a test, and it came back that I was an introvert. And I said, man, this test is definitely wrong. I came home and said, baby, I took this test and they're telling me I'm an introvert. I know I'm not an introvert. And my wife said to me, Eugene, you are an introvert. I said, what do you mean? She said, you think you're an extrovert, but it was when you were drinking that you became the life of the party. And it hit me that I was still didn't understand why, you know, I didn't even understand who I was. And this was at an age of, I'm in my 40s now. And I still didn't have a reality check on who I really was. I'm thinking that I'm an extrovert. Oh, no dancing on campus, right? I'm thinking that, you know, hey, I'm the life of the party everywhere I went, you know, but before I got there, I had to get me a little drink. I'm the life of the party. Oh, here comes Gene. Hey, to the window, to the wall. This ain't nothing but, you know, this is me. I'm coming in. So I'm thinking this is who I am. And so as I continued to mature and grow, and I took this test, and it came back. I'm sober now. Amen. Amen. And you know, hey, there goes the amen corner. I'm sober now, realizing that, you know, Christ is the head of my life and all those things. And so I take this test. And so I'm able to take this test legitimately. And it helps me to understand who I really am. And now I begin to, you know, say, man, Gene, you know, why all these years has it taken you and has it taken this situation to help you understand who you really are? See, I begin to understand who I really am and as a result of this test, but there were some other things that have happened in my life that has helped me to understand. You know, there were times when I mentioned to you that I was a treatment specialist. So that took me into some rooms. Some of you know what I'm talking about. NA rooms, AA rooms, doing some groups, working with folks who had some issues, some challenges around drugs and alcohol. And I was so surprised and shocked. In these rooms, they would sit around in chairs and they would stand up and say, hi, my name is Terry Thomas. Oh, is there a Terry Thomas in the room or something? Hi, my name is Jack, and I'm an alcoholic. And everybody would say, hi, Jack, and then they would clap their hands. And I'm like, wow. Then another person would stand up and say, hi, my name is Susie, and I'm addicted to pills. And everybody would say, hi, Susie, welcome. And that blew me away. I said to myself, there's more community in this room than I've found in churches. These folks, okay, amen, come on now. These folks were so transparent with their issues and where they were in life. And my mind immediately went to the church, the body of Christ, and said, you know, we're missing this piece. You know, we come to church and we say, hey, Tony, how you doing today, buddy? Oh, you doing fine? Oh, yes, yeah, still praising God, Jack, hallelujah. How's the family? Oh, the family couldn't be better, Tony. Things are going great, hallelujah, glory to God. But in all reality, all hell's breaking loose. We become so accustomed. There's a book I read called True Faced. Had to read it when I was at prison fellowship. Talks about how the body of Christ wears masks. How we, you know, we're like actors on a stage. We know when to say amen. And, you know, we've become so conditioned. We, you know, the protocol. We know exactly what to say when. You know, we cross all of our T's and we dot all of our I's and we look the part. We know how to talk. We know how to say right things. Our theology is correct. Everything is in place. Everything is in place. So it seems. But see, my mind goes back to those folks who were in those rooms and who are so open with where they're coming from, where the pain is, what has allowed them to be so confined, so locked in. But we, as the body of Christ, I'm afraid many of us don't even acknowledge that we have issues. You know, for me, it was an issue of identity. I didn't know who I was for a long time. And when you don't know who you really are, I didn't realize that that blubbertooth still existed on the inside of me. He still was dominating me. And who is that? That's the adversary who takes those issues and he takes those pains and hurts and he magnifies them as we get older. Unless Jesus Christ is a part of the mix. Let me read you something real quick. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of the 12 steps. If you heard of them, say amen. Listen to what the first step. The 12 steps are for those who go to NAAA, you know, they follow the 12 steps. You know, you take one step at a time to recovery. The first step says, we admitted we were powerless over whatever the situation is, whatever you're challenged with, and that our lives had become unmanageable. The body of Christ, you know, we dare not let people know that our lives have become unmanageable. We'll dress it up, make it look good, make it sound good, but in reality, you know, behind the scenes, our life is unmanageable. You know, we look good in front of everybody else, but at night when the midnight hour comes, we cry ourselves to sleep. Pain so ravages us and those blubber toots begin to speak louder than the voice of Christ. The second step says, in the 12th step says, you're able to say that my higher power can be this podium. If I look to this podium, that's where I'm going to get my strength from. That's where I'm going to get my help from. And so there are many people who go through these kind of groups and never really recover. They may stop drinking and they may stop doing whatever they were doing, but we call that in the field, we call that a dry drunk. What is a dry drunk? A dry drunk is somebody who stops doing those things but picks up something else. And there's no joy. There's no release. They're still in bondage. They don't drink, but they're so cantankerous and they can't get along with people. So when we replace that with Christ Jesus, when we begin to focus on who he is in our lives, that helps us to begin to understand and helps us in the recovery process. Listen to this. I know my time is running short. Icebergs. The Titanic received 5 iceberg warnings just before it went down. When the 6th message came during the wee hours of the morning, look out for icebergs. The operator wired back, shut up, I'm busy. 30 minutes later, the great vessel, whose captain said, even God couldn't sink this ship, was sinking fast. What happened? They forgot the truth about icebergs. What they saw above the water couldn't have sunk the ship, but unfortunately, most of an iceberg is below water. Do you know what? That iceberg represents our life. The 10% above the water is your reputation. We try to keep a good reputation. The 90% below is your character. And it is what's below the surface that sinks your ship. It's that pain that we never deal with. It's those things that we mask that usually take us down to destruction. Until I begin to focus my pain and my hatred and my anger to the Lord, before I begin to give those things over. Now, I told you there was a time frame. I'm 11 years old and 16, 17, 18. Now I'm in my 40s, close to 50. And this happened about 4 years ago that I came to the revelation knowledge that I was still not sure of who I was. I'm thinking that I'm an extrovert. And in reality, according to the test, I was an introvert. How confused I was. But it wasn't until I began to deal with these issues that God really set me free. Let me read the scripture verse and sit down. All right. Here's where we miss it in the body of Christ. Some of you may be dealing with some issues yourself. And I'm just here today to encourage you that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Listen to the word of God. Sorry.
Terry Thomas, does this look familiar?
Listen to the word. Brother, can you put that on the screen? To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power," listen to this, saints, "for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When we begin to realize that those issues, those things that we're dealing with that lead us to destruction, those things that we don't want to talk about, those things that we hold on to, I begin to realize that the older you get, and if there's some pain and some hurts that you have not dealt with, they're easy, they're much harder to keep down. You know, when you eat something, you get sick and you got to bring it back up. I think we call it barfing. Because it doesn't sit well with you. When you allow that those things that have happened to you in your young age and you get to be my age, it's so hard to hide those things. And every time you turn around, they're right before you. And God is saying, what I need my body to understand, you need to be like that group that stands up and say, hello. Can you imagine in your church on Sunday morning before service gets started that folks, just think about the church you go to. That's supposed to be funny. And folks start standing up and saying, hey, my name is Tony, and I just want to let everybody that I've been having some difficulty with gambling. Hey, my name is Cindy, and I'm having a lust problem. We can't even perceive that. But God is saying, let me tell you, saints, it's okay to talk about your weaknesses. It's okay to bring those things to the forefront. Because when you bring them to the forefront, that's when I can take over. That's when my strength will be made perfect in you. That's why I can stand before you right now, and I don't care who judges me how. I'm set free. God has allowed me to come to grips. I told you about my family. I had to tell my sons that their dad was an alcoholic and an addict. I had to tell them. I had to let them know the struggles that I had growing up. Why did I have to let them know that? I had to let them know that because I needed to let them know who I really am and how God has brought me a mighty long way. I don't want them to repeat that. I don't want them to go through things. I don't want my oldest son to go through things at college and he can't call home and say, Mom and Dad, I'm struggling with this. Some of you may be struggling with some things this morning. And I need to let you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you can think or imagine. And I'm sharing with you today, before you go out into this crazy world, part of what I do now is I'm a life coach. And some of my clients are from 500 corporations, men who are in presidencies, who are struggling with past pain. You would never know. There's some people that I've met with on death row who say to me, Brother Gene, if I only knew what I knew now. I hated my dad so much till I ended up being just like him. It doesn't matter where you come from. Pain is pain. The enemy is the enemy. And it is his desire to kill, steal, and destroy. But God said, I've come to what? To give us what? Life. And to give it to us more abundantly. So I encourage you this morning, wherever you're at, that's a condensed version, praise God. Wherever you're at this morning, whether you're a student or a faculty, your tie, your coordination will help people not see what you're really going through. But the enemy knows exactly what you're struggling with. And he'll take that struggle, he'll take that pain and that bitterness, and he'll spank your backside. But God says, let me have control. Let me take over. Give me your weakness. Because when you begin to express that, and begin to let God know, he allows you to become transparent. That's when the freedom takes place. Now, I'm going to sit down. One of the brothers on death row, told you I worked with Prison Fellowship for a while. So that took me into a lot of Supermax facilities. It's a great thing. You know, folks say, you need to go to Supermax? Man, many of those guys are set free. You know, they're locked behind bars and locked in their little cells and aren't allowed out, the Supermax you see on TV. But these guys are just as a joy to be around. They laugh and, you know, they recognize their sin and they put those things before God and God has set them free in prison. But there are so many Christians who go to church every Sunday, look the part, pastoring, doing all kind of different things, look the part, but are in so much bondage in Supermax, in their Lexus, Supermax, driving down the road. Hey, I'm in Supermax, folks. God wants to set you free. Amen. God bless you.